Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On Thursdays at 3 o'clock, we go to one of the experts on the beat, our buddy Shiel Kapadia of The Athletic. Him and Bo Wolf do a tremendous job covering the team. What's going on, Shiel?
About to go in here and find out who wants to return punts in this locker room in a few minutes.
All right. Yeah, you know it's the
good question.
Our first hour, we talked a lot about Darren Sproles, and do you think that Howie's getting burned this year by being loyal to guys that he liked, i.e., Jason Peters and Darren Sproles?
You know, I think it's something that all championship teams kind of go through with the matter of, you know, which of the veterans do you keep, which do you let go, which are important to the culture, all those different things. You know, I think with Darren Sproles, you know, from what I understand and talking to Doug back in March, Doug was really pushing for Darren Sproles to be back on this team. They were excited about what he could do, and, you know, they made a decision to go with him and give it a shot. It doesn't always work out. You know, I don't think overall it was like huge mistakes made across the board. I think with the veteran players, some of them are going to work out, some of them aren't going to work out, and Sproles obviously falls into the latter category here.
What's the likelihood that we see him this year, Shiel?
Geez, you know, I would say anything you get from him this year should be considered a bonus. And, you know, it's tough to say, but the possibility that he's played his last down in the NFL, you certainly have to consider that when you look at how long it kind of took him to get back from the hamstring injury. And then one practice in, he re-injures it. And at his age and kind of what he went through in the offseason to get back, you know, it's kind of, I guess they'll evaluate it every week, every couple weeks, but yeah, it's probably not looking good.
DeAndre Carter had been returning punts, and I guess with Sproles being back, what was the timing? So Sproles comes back to practice, they think everything's going to be great, but they had released DeAndre Carter prior to the injury in practice. Is that how it went down?
Yeah, I mean, probably, you know, looking back, it probably would have been a wiser move to kind of keep him on as some insurance, see how the week goes and make sure Sproles is okay before you get rid of him, because, you know, he at least was pretty short-handed and showed a little bit of juice there in a couple spots at the punt returner spot. And now you're looking at, you know, I don't know, he's had four punt returns in the last three seasons. He's trying to learn a new offense here. Do you want to put him in that role, Nelson Aguilar? He's got one punt return in his entire NFL career. Do you throw someone new back there, Corey Clement, Shelton Gibson? So, you know, it is sort of an under-the-radar concern a little bit when you look at what they're going to do at that spot, not only this week, but going forward.
I'm having Greg Lewis flashbacks, like, to where he was thrown back. He was thrown back there because you relied on a skier who couldn't play, and then meanwhile he's fumbling away. Very interesting. Very interesting. So what do they do running back-wise? I know when it was announced yesterday that Sproles was back at practice, I think, you know, my eyes kind of lit up and said, all right, well, at least now you know you're going to get 5, 6, 7, 8 touches with Darren Sproles. Who gets the bulk of the carries, you think, moving forward? Is it a week-to-week basis? Who has the hot hand?
You know, I'm waiting to see if Corey Clement, if he got a little healthier during the bye week, if we see a change in his usage here in the second half of the season, because I've just been surprised how much more they've gone with Wendell Smallwood instead of Corey Clement, and that's especially in, like, third down and obvious passing situations. You know, in my opinion, Clement is a much better pass protector than Smallwood. It seems like at least once a week there's a play where Wentz is getting hit or Wentz is getting sacked, where it's falling on Wendell Smallwood, not the offensive line. And then, you know, they liked a little bit of what they saw out of Josh Adams last week. Now, listen, I think it's just going to be, like you said, week-to-week rotation. I think all those three guys are going to get carries. If one guy seems to emerge or separate himself, maybe he runs away with a little bit, but I think all three of those guys will be playing on Sunday.
Little surprise this week, Shiel, at some of the veterans like Malcolm, Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, being as outspoken as they've been this week about the Cowboys, the rivalry, their thoughts on the organization at one point. I mean, I think it was Jason Kelsey that said something about the Cowboys as an organization. Are you surprised that the Eagles are, I guess, lending their opinions to another organization, bases focusing in on what they need to do to sort of turn this 4-4 season around?
I have been a little surprised. You know, every year the Cowboys game comes up, and I'm sure you remember it as a player, reporters go around and they're going to ask you about the Cowboys. Do you hate the Cowboys as much as the fans do? And, you know, normally they kind of just give the politically correct answer and say it's a big rivalry, it's a big game, but we're not going to get into that. Jason Peters was the surprising one yesterday. You know, he was asked right there, and he's being asked, you know, do you hate the Cowboys as much as the fans? Yeah, what do you hate about them? Their arrogance, their American team. I'm thinking, what's going on here today? So I don't know. I don't know if they're smelling themselves a little bit. Obviously, they're the defending Super Bowl champs, and this is the first time they're playing the Cowboys since then, or what it is. But, yeah, I will say I was a little bit surprised by some of the comments and reaction in the locker room yesterday.
Well, I wonder if you're headed back in the locker room now, if Doug has said, hey, keep your mouth shut. Don't give anything else out there. So I'm wondering what the reaction is going to be today, if guys are a little bit more tight-lipped when it comes to the situation.
It could be. And, you know, Malcolm said that, you know, they'll show them old clips of Eagles-Cowboys games, whether it's B-Doc or Buddy Ryan days. And so it seems like internally, at least, kind of playing up the rivalry and getting them hyped up a little bit. But, yeah, you would think normally that stuff kind of stays internal and doesn't trickle out into the media. Maybe they just watched that Monday night game and thought, we don't have to worry about this team. We're going to beat them anyway. Let's say whatever we want. I don't know.
Well, that's what I did.
That was exactly my – listen, hey, Shield, that was exactly my thought. When I'm hearing them speak, I'm like, oh, yeah, they got caught up in watching the game Monday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got caught up in watching that game Monday night. Well, you know what? Sunday night, everybody wants to see the new toy get unveiled. How much can we expect to see Golden Tate Sunday night, and what type of role do you expect him to have in the offense?
I think he's going to play quite a bit. You know, I think some of the things he does, it's not that difficult to incorporate him into the offense, whether it's, you know, the tunnel screens or the fly sweeps or lining him up in the slot on third down and running some of the route concepts he's used to. So, you know, I would expect him to be out there for over 50% of the snaps, maybe 60, 70% of the snaps. I think he'll line up inside quite a bit. And I think one role they really want to use Tate in is, you know, in those situations where you want to get the ball out of Wentz's hands quickly, maybe it's third and five, third and six, the opponent blitzing, man coverage, all those different things. I think he can give you that outlet to get rid of the ball quickly, because I know one of the things they've worked on during the bye week is they just feel like Wentz is getting sacked too much and those negative plays are really hindering the offense. So I think that's one area you're going to see him out there quite a bit.
Shiel Kapati of The Athletic, if you're not reading The Athletic, especially for all their coverage, but especially for the Eagles coverage, you're making a mistake. It does a great job with Bo Wolf. The last thing here, Shiel, you were one of the OGs among reporters that would break down the All-22 film. I remember you did this, I'm talking a decade ago when you worked on Philly.com, so I know you're still doing it. Now everybody does it, right? Everybody goes over the film. But you do it with a former NFL offensive lineman in Jeff Schwartz. What was the problem with the O-line? Ike and I were talking about it today. One of the strengths of their team last year and really carried them down the stretch has been a weakness this year. What do you guys see when you look through the tape?
Yeah, he's been helping me really since last year. And so last year, every week, it was like, wow, look at what a great job they're doing, working together, getting on the same page before the snap. And so I thought, you know, during the bye week, let's take a look at their sacks over the last 2 weeks. And really, you know, don't get me wrong, there have been offensive line breakdowns. They're not playing as well as they have a year ago. But it's not all on the offensive line. And some of it, you know, there's some randomness to it. I mentioned Wendell Smallwood earlier. If you look at the one sack against the Jaguars, that was a missed assignment on him. There are situations where really it feels like Carson Wentz, not a lot of these, but, you know, some of these sprinkled in, especially that last play against the Panthers where it felt like he had an opportunity, Carson Wentz, to pull the trigger on a play. So it's kind of little stuff here and there. But, you know, the bottom line was when you turn on the last two games, and if you look at all their sacks, there aren't many examples of a guy just getting beat one-on-one where you say, this guy can't play, he's getting bull rushed into the quarterback, he's getting beat clean off the line of scrimmage, and Wentz is getting killed. So, you know, he's a former offensive lineman, and he came away watching those sacks saying, you know what, they do have an opportunity to improve in the second half. These aren't sort of panic-worthy sacks that they're giving up right now.
Easy win Sunday night, Shield. What's your prediction?
I can't say, you know, I've been listening to the station. I can't say easy win. This is a 4-4 team. They've had trouble scoring over 23 all season long. The Cowboys' defense, I think, is a little bit better than maybe people give them credit for because they did have a bad performance Monday night. So I think the Eagles win. I'm going to say 24-16. So I'll give you the cover this week. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
What'd I say, Ike? 51-18, is that where I am right now? Yeah, this is an easy one.
It takes us three games to score 51 points.
That's true. All right, Shield, get in that locker room, man.
Appreciate it, Shield.
All right, there he is. Yeah, I'm about to double down. I'm trying to hold off till tomorrow. I'm about to double down on this game.
Okay.
I feel more confident today than I did Tuesday about
why?
This game. I mean, why? The Dallas stinks. That's why.
Dallas didn't just lose their running back. I'm trying to figure out why. So it's still Dallas stinks. It's still for Monday's game.
Okay. Of course. Hold on a second. I wasn't, first of all, when I said it on Tuesday, we didn't know Darren Sproles was coming back. That
sure
didn't happen.
We did.
No, that was Wednesday. It came out he was practicing on Wednesday. We didn't know Tuesday that he was, going to be there.
Well,
you had an idea, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't. No, I wasn't being like, yeah, Sproles, he's back. Let's go. Eagles win. No, it's a bad football team, Dallas. Right? Bad football team, a done football team. They know their coach is cooked. They know their organization stinks. They know they don't have enough talent. And the Eagles are about to start rolling. This is an easy win. And the lock of the year for the NFL. 888-729-9494.
I know you're trying to push buttons with me. It's not going to work.
I am not. I am absolutely not. I'm
just letting you go out there on an edge. Go right ahead.
No, I saw Cowherd came out today and said what I said on Tuesday.
Right.
I am Trump by 2 days. All right, he's coming out and saying the same thing. All right, so he's copying off me, but he's smart. All right, maybe he's not copying off me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.